Session 143, April 5, 1965. Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening. Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth. I did indeed communicate briefly with Rupert last evening. He reported my words correctly. In regard to your illness, no healing of any sort can ever take place without inner understanding and psychic comprehension. My interests are those of an educator. Any healing brought about from the outside may be advantageous in the short run, and I would be only too willing to help in a situation involving illness, particularly in a serious variety, even though the advantages of my help would be surface ones. I realize that such surface help at times could be most desirable. Basically, however, in your case, the illness was not serious, and the advantage that you would derive from my help in the healing capacity would have been outweighed entirely by several disadvantages that are almost always present in the case of healing that does not originate from inner comprehension. Rob notes, Seth had discussed this inner comprehension and physical illness in the 98th, 99th, and 120th session, among others. Seth. I would have been removing the problem from you, and in this instance depriving you of the opportunity of solving it, and therefore of adding to your own energies and abilities. As it was, your illness was shorter by several times than it would have been had it occurred last year, and certainly much shorter than it would have been were it not for the understanding that you have derived from these sessions. I certainly do not mean to sound less than compassionate. My bedside manner may leave much to be desired, and my potions and pills are not those that come in a doctor's black bag. However, I can indeed do more, in that my pills are pills of knowledge, which are indeed, my friends, somewhat difficult to digest. But you do not mind. No, Rob notes. Jane delivered the above paragraph with a broad smile. Seth. The basic source of your difficulty was not new. It need not even, except superficially, represent a dangerous lapse or relapse on your part into those truly dangerous and quite disastrous negative battles of thoughts, which eventually in any individual can and often do lead the integrated self into annihilation. The illness did represent, however, a needed warning, materialized into physical reality as illness. A warning that, after all, there had been a recent tendency on your part, though slight, to slide into negative thinking. The illness was meant to bring you up short, to make you think. It was no coincidence, however, that you plunged into reading the New York papers during your stay in bed. Not that it is intended that you should close your eyes to world events, but that in your particular case, there are times when, to you, such concentration upon world evils becomes extremely unwholesome. Your reactions at such times are not good for yourself, and your reactions are not good at such times for the conditions which bring them about. Such reactions actually worsen the conditions that you would change. I am not suggesting that you adopt a bland, idiotic, male Pollyannan smile, but that you should shout love, prosperity, and health from the rooftops while the world below is steeped in poverty and ignorance. However, it is your duty, and the duty of every individual insofar as it is within his power, to maintain his own psychic health and vitality. According to the strength of this vitality, he will protect himself and others. Negative expectations, far from protecting either the individual or those with whom he comes in contact, will actually, to a greater or lesser degree, turn as destructive as any epidemic. I suggest your break. Now, do you like my pill? Rob, very good. Break at 9:20. Jane smiled as she ended the monologue. Rob continues to note, I spent 8 or 9 days in bed, the victim of what I generally called a virus. At no time, however, did I blame a virus, feeling that the real cause was psychic, thus permitting the virus to come into the fore. I was somewhat embarrassed at having goofed psychically. As time passed, And while I pored over several daily New York City newspapers, plus Elmira's daily paper, I came to realize to a small extent that poor expectations on my part had much to do with my falling ill. I finally reached the point where I told Jane, the day before this session was due, that I had decided to stop reading the New York papers so thoroughly. I found it a sad experience to read about the race situation, Vietnam, the conditions of life and crime in New York City, etc. Although, of course, I realized that much of this news meant something was being done about some urgent problems. For some other examples of the psychic power of negative expectations, see the 9th, 15th, 17th sessions involving Jane and me at York Beach, Maine. Also see the 17th and 66th session for materials on the death of our dog, Mischa. Seth, such newspapers as you read do a definite service. That should not be overlooked or thoughtlessly condemned. They definitely open the eyes of many who would otherwise pay no attention. Particularly in the race question, they have performed a great psychic service, for they have aroused deep, creative, constructive emotions on the part of people who otherwise would not have been involved, and these constructive energies have helped change the situation for the better. Such dire conditions cannot be pretended out of human existence, nor should they be. But in your case, you are aware of man's inhumanity to man. It is well that you are, but you must not allow this knowledge to weigh like a mountain upon your being, so that you are pinned under and your energies sucked away. This is the danger for which you must be alerted. I am aware that you would prefer that I continue with my discussion upon action, but indeed we have here quite a practical application, and I intend to go into other earlier symptoms that should have and did not give you warning. Rupert sensed one in particular, and did indeed react in a manner that you found annoying. Rupert's feelings and lack of action as far as the publishing house was concerned left much to be desired, and in time his lack of action would have caused an unpleasant reaction on his own part. However, he correctly, if subconsciously, interpreted your attitude toward the publishing house as being basically dangerous to you. And so it was. Note, the attitude was partially justified, but the portion that was not justified was a symptom of a new appearance of negative thought on your part. And because such negativism is a psychic problem to you, it was potentially dangerous. Your attitude was, in some manner, more realistic than Rupert's, and yet his attitude was the healthier. Both of you went too far in opposite directions, as is characteristic of your own natures. You are sometimes inclined, and underline sometimes, to be overly pessimistic, and Rupert is sometimes inclined to be not overly optimistic, but overly docile, as far as his connections with the outside world are concerned. His nature is independent, but the independence is blunted when he is not sure of what he's dealing with. You felt this reaction to your attitude strongly, and you should have questioned yourself at that point. Rupert was able to counteract the temporary but overall negative storm by his own creative energies and focus strongly to protect you both. He would not have been able to do this a year ago. You have learned something from this illness, and you will be stronger for it. But you would not have learned it if it had not run its course, and if you had not faced the reason behind it. You of all people should realize that when valid concern for world problems turns into an obsession with world injustices that wipes out all, or threatens to wipe out all personal enjoyment, then trouble is on the way. For enjoyment is a weapon. The man who is capable of joy is capable to a large extent of changing his world. Joy is not a weak, spineless idiot either. Its backbone is stronger than bitterness. Joy is the muscle of action, and without it, there would be no action. If I speak strongly to you at times, it is because this tendency, while much less now than formerly, must be kept very well in control, Joseph. Basically, this concern for human welfare is indeed virtuous, but overindulged in it becomes loaded with possibilities that could be most unfortunate. You knew I was going to light into you this evening, as Rupert would say. What I want here is the balance. Neither plunge yourself into the ignorance, doubts, and injustices so that you can see nothing else, nor close your eyes to them. But there must be a place within you where these do not exist, or the freedom of the inner self will be hampered, as far as its connection with the ego is concerned. Your deep consideration for human problems has indeed helped you to these sessions. I suggest your break. Seth, there is one matter that I should clear up. There was a possibility at one time, for a particular period of time, when for various reasons your Miss Callahan was in danger of falling down the front flight of stairs. For several reasons, the possibility was strongest when she went for the mail. Her anxiety is high upon such occasions. I suggested that Rupert bring up the mail for her to cover that period of possibility. He did so. The fall did not occur, but the strong possibility for it did exist. I know that you wanted me to explain. I am extremely cautious as far as giving warnings, since suggestion could play a part in bringing about the event which looms, merely as an unfortunate possibility, but not definitely as an actuality. Rob notes, just before tonight's session, I told Jane I hoped Seth would clear this matter up. See the 133rd and 35th sessions. The 133rd session also contains a list of previous sessions in which Seth has dealt with Miss Callahan to varying degrees. Miss Callahan, a retired school teacher, was also acquainted with Frank Watts. It was Jane's initial contact with Frank Watts' personality through the Ouija board that led to these sessions. F. Watts has been dead perhaps 20 years and is one of the personalities making up the Seth entity. See also the first page of this session for material on the power of suggestion. For other material on suggestion and related subjects like illness, see the 68th, the 98th, the 99th, and 120th sessions. Seth, there is much to be said along these lines, but you still need preparation in terms of information before you can benefit as much as you should. We come here, for example, into many questions. The future in your terms is not foreordained and is at no moment fixed. It is true that what will occur in your terms has already occurred in other terms, and that it is possible to perceive beyond your now into your so-called future. But here I am very careful of tampering, for tampering with your present tampers with your future. I suggest that in the last sentence you place the word your in quotes. Rob notes, see the 134th through 137th session for some material on time travel. Seth, when we have discussed further the nature of action, then we can delve further into these questions, for they involve thrusts of action and are intimately connected with energy's action upon itself. I am going to suggest also that Rupert continue with the procedure as far as psychological time is concerned. That is, that he lets it go until I tell him otherwise. The experience, the subjective experience of the last session on Rupert's part was meant as a practical demonstration of the limitless self. I am very pleased that he did so well with it, and various other such controlled experiments can be expected in the future. Rob notes, see page 308. Seth, the conditions of our sessions allow us, on the one hand, more freedom, and on the other hand, more control. Also, they add to the value of the sessions themselves. We will have much more to say concerning the limitless self in connection with action. The material, our material, will indeed be published. A firm but not too impatient attitude is the most beneficial on your parts. At any time that you may wish it, you can indeed make up sessions. However, I will not suggest it. It's up to you. Rob notes, this information came through, I presume, because earlier I had been joking with Jane about making up the sessions we had missed. I doubt if it is possible. Our daily routine is busy enough now. Jane now gave a broad smile. Seth, you have taken your medicine very well this evening. A note I wanted to add. It was indeed no coincidence either that your house was so filled with guests when you became ill. Your Sonia was drawn by your own inner vehemence. It was very well that she did not spend more time with you. Rupert, without realizing it, entered into psychic swordplay with her, for her own chronic and critical inner bitterness sought out your own. On some other occasion, I will discuss this particular character with you, for there is much to be learned here. The others did not come for the same reason, although your illness was the cause of their visits. John, your Philip, was definitely called as a reinforcement, and he responded. The other two visitors were neutral psychically. I will say more of this at a later date, when it will be pertinent to another discussion. My heartiest regard for your health. You may here take a break, or, considering your convalescence, I will end this session. Rob, well, take a short break then. Break at 10:36. Rob notes, our host of visitors during my illness was another subject we'd hoped Seth would discuss this evening. From March 24th to April 2nd, Jane and I received a total of 21 visits from 16 different individuals. Of these 16, 7 had witnessed sessions. Some of the visits lasted for hours and left Jane very tired. Since the visitors began to appear on the first day I was in bed and within a matter of hours, Jane and I soon thought it was more than a coincidence. We had 4 visitors the first day, 3 the second, 5 the third, and 4 the fourth day, etc. Moreover, 2 of our first 4 visitors, Sonia Carlson, Luis DeAndreo, were from out of town. Sonia bought a painting from me on November 18, 1964, and is mentioned by Seth in the 108th session of that date. Luis witnessed the 89th session held in Rochester, New York, and was also discussed by Seth in the 90th session. Another visitor that first day was Jim Beckett, who witnessed the 47th and 49th session. Thus, Jim and Lewis were the 2 neutral visitors referred to by Seth. Philip, of course, is the entity name for John Bradley, who has witnessed several sessions. While visiting us on the second day of my illness, John said that events transpiring within the drug firm he represents, Searle, appear to bear out predictions made by Seth some time ago. Seth had mentioned a time limit of several years for some of these predictions to work themselves out, and counseled patience on John's part. See the 37th session of March 3, 23, 1964, and the 70th session of July 13, 1964, among others. My younger brother, William Richard, also from Rochester, New York, was a visitor on March 28. He is custodian of the second carbon of these sessions and witnessed the 89th session. Another visitor was Bill McDonald, entity name Mark, and several times a witness. On file, I have a complete record of the 21 visits Jane and I received. Jane now resumed at an average rate of speed. They were called by your illness for various reasons. The 2 neutral parties came earnestly, however, with a subconscious desire to help. They were drawn by your predicament and psychically aware enough to be sensitive to it. However, they were not able to rally any noticeable psychic force of their own. Had the conditions been different, or the situation worse, they would have so rallied. Philip added his constructive energy to Rupert's in Rupert's attempt to counter your inner vehemence, and you helped yourself to the admittedly small degree of which you were capable at the time. Sonia, all unwittingly, came to prey upon the situation. She herself is in desperate need of help. Rupert sensed this, and if his own abilities had not been so strong, Rupert would have ended up in a most unfortunate situation, for he attempted, for a time, to counter the wholesale destructive tendencies open in your house. He did have some support from you, for you see, you were far from powerless this time. The other assorted company during the week was most beneficial indeed. From this standpoint, you were indeed not alone, and it was not a time for you to be alone, although you may have wished for privacy. I could indeed continue now along these lines. However, I think it best that you retire for the evening. I did not neglect you either while you were ill, but the circumstances did not warrant a direct action on my part. I was here. I kept an inquiring, sometimes severe, sometimes amused, sometimes concerned, but always watchful eye upon the household. And now my best regards to you both. I am glad that we resume our sessions once again. Rupert had a vacation of sorts, but I will see that there is action enough for him now. Rob. Good night, Seth. Rob notes, she did retain an awareness of the gift of the material given during her first monologue, but that in successive monologues she lost all idea of what she had said. It might be noted that now her eyes open quite easily at break time and at the end of the sessions. When she first began to speak while seated and with her eyes closed, she had difficulty opening her eyes. Jane had told me that during my illness, she hadn't felt Seth around. There were times during my illness when I had an actual feeling of disbelief at the steady parade of visitors. I did not see them all. I soon became aware that I felt better after talking to the ones I did see. And once I realized this, I rather deliberately tried to capitalize upon this apparent exchange of energy. Sonia Carlson visited us twice. Almost at once, I understood the negative character of her thoughts and decided not to let it bother me. I was concerned about Jane bearing the brunt of this, however.